Ed Gamble and Matthew Crosby. Radio X.
Hello, Ed Gamble here.
Hello, Matthew Crosby here.
And we want you to listen to our podcast of the Ed Gamble and Matthew Crosby radio show on Radio X. There's so many great features, so many great times. For instance, we've just started doing a feature where listeners message in with times they've injured their eyes. It's called Aye Aye Captain, and it's genuinely upsetting.
Yeah, it's really, really bad stuff. And if that sounds like your sort of thing, listen on Global Player.
It's horrible.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 Fang.
Welcome to the 302nd Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 Fang podcast. I don't know why, but 302nd really sounds great, doesn't it?
It sounds like an airborne division.
It does, the 302. Yeah. The men of the 302.
The 302nd.
I'm just really excited. I just said 302nd. I don't know why. It sounds so much more than 301.
It does.
It is, though. It's one more.
I know, but it's... Yeah. What I didn't need was low-key sarcasm.
No
yeah.
Nigel Tufnell comments from Sunter.
Yeah, right.
It's one more.
It's one more. I know, but it sounds like a lot more, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Anyway, the darling of the 4 till 7 thing returns. Bobby Sue Templeton back in the studio after an extended Christmas break. She's better than ever.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It says here... And so are we with a brand new feature coming up. We bring Benjamin Franklin's drunk dictionary forward to the 21st century. It hasn't been modernised since 1737. We're the first people to really crack into it since then. The letter D is where we're starting.
Yep.
And we're going to finish with C, Christmassy.
Lovely.
Because we already know what that is. Quite excited, though. We've also got a brand new Mexican handbag for you. And Sunta shows us round her plug hole. Radio X. Hey, guys. You're listening to Radio X. I'm Johnny Vaughan. This is my 4 till 7 thing. And it is, with great pleasure, we welcome back to the fold someone who is more than just a friend to the show. A newsreader, yes. But also very much... part of the gang. She's been here now for 6 years, reading the news, making us laugh, causing us to giggle, joining in the fun, always competitive, pragmatic, sure, but honest. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome back to the fold, more than just Ms. A Dr. Sunta Templeton!
Welcome back, Sunta.
Wow, they love you in here, certainly.
Oh, my God.
And some members of the audience are getting on their feet. They certainly are on the balcony.
Oh,
the cheaper
my God.
Seats. They're loving it.
Look at Leicester Square.
Leicester Square. Keep it going.
Unbelievable.
Nice carry.
I don't know what to say. I'm touched. Thank you.
So, Sunta, welcome back.
Cheers.
Happy New Year. Did you have a nice Christmas?
Happy New Year. I did, thank you. Yep.
Right.
A while ago
Let's
now,
have a tune
it?
Then. Yeah, it was, yeah. What have you been doing? What have you been up to?
You know, stuff, bit of this, bit of that. Saw some family.
Did you? You been out at all?
Been out, yeah.
Where you been out? Where you been going?
Where do you think?
The hell's going on?
Aces and Eights.
Aces and Eights.
Spent New Year there.
That's Aces and Eights. Aces and Eights, a bar right opposite her house. And what's been going down at Aces? What's the latest down there? Anything we should know about? Any change of staff?
So, saw some old faces come back for New Year. That was
Who's
nice.
Come back?
Oh, you know.
Filthy Reg.
Yeah. Yeah, he was there.
Honest Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah. Biker Mike. Biker Dave. Biker Steve.
Mandy the Maneater, she was there.
Is Mandy the Maneater
yeah,
there?
Yeah.
Excellent. My God.
Any special? Well, you got any booze specials on at the moment? Any specials they're running?
Oh, there's always a weekly cocktail deal.
Is there?
Mm.
Do you happen to know? Or you haven't
I mean,
been
it's
yet?
Just it's two Monday. For one. That's, it's that's the deal. One,
okay. That's the deal, right?
Okay. What shot have you been leaning on over the Christmas period? Have you changed that? Have you got sometimes over the Christmas period you discover a sort of a craze shot?
Yeah.
83936. You've got a craze drink. You've been experimenting with over Christmas. We'd always love to hear about that during Dry January. Go on, get.
What's the one? It tastes like hazelnut.
Frangelico.
Yeah.
Just ask a rugby player. Frangelico.
I had a pint of it on the weekend.
That's a really good Christmas shot.
Shall I tell you something about rugby players? Yeah. It's what? Like good barman. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know there's that shelf you can't reach in bars?
Yeah.
They've got a story about everyone. Oh, don't talk to me. You want something? Don't tell me about that stuff. No, we had the rep came in, gave us
his... Oh, man. No one ordered it for years after that night.
Next morning, my pee was purple.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But look at that. So fast on it.
So fast.
So you've been getting on the hazelnut.
Christmassy. Festive.
Is it what? Have you been mixing that with anything? Because you've got to watch some of those drinks on that shelf because you can get a hangover.
No,
pro. Less of the olds.
Well, you didn't have a Fra Angelico Coke.
Double sweet. Bailey's and Coke.
What I like, there is that certain kind of the pint glass drinker.
Yeah.
With not beer in it.
But with.
And I've got some mates of mine in Marbella who's been out there for ages. Mm. And he came round to mine once when I was renting a villa. And he's gone round Marbella. He's gone... I said, what do you want there? He's got his pint. What are you drinking there? He goes, just Bacardi Coke. I said, I've got no Bacardi. He goes, just vodka and Coke's fine. I go, do you know, we're absolutely out of vodka. He goes, just a Jack Daniels and a Coke. I said, essentially...
anything in Coke.
It's a shame I haven't just got ethanol and a pipette and I can just put it in the sodding can, really. He just doesn't really mind.
This is Radio X. The best of Johnny Vaughan.
Three bits of news for you. One,
go on.
Ministers have called for the BBC to play Anthem every day.
Okay, yes, I remember
that. In
that
headline, it's not clear what Anthem.
Ah, good point. Yes.
I'm thinking Faithless. I can't. Insomnia. Defo.
It just works, doesn't it? That is an anthem. That's a true anthem.
It gives me goosebumps. Honestly, it's like drugs or something.
It's
incredible.
When they play it live, the arms go up.
Yes.
They just do, yeah. Yeah.
It's where he says, on the heath with my teeth. And you can just imagine the teeth, which I bet have got quite a nicotine stain right in the middle of them. So it's like one of those smokers who burns the midnight oil. Anyway. Ministers have supported calls for the BBC to play the national anthem every day on television in the year of the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. There we go. So I think it should just be a different British anthem.
A banger.
Yeah, or a Commonwealth album, a banger every night.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Defo.
It's got to be.
To celebrate how far reach, and also over the last, since 1952, which is the rock and roll era.
Absolutely right.
I mean, there was no rock and roll without the Queen.
That's
Forget
right.
Elvis. Also, just flagging it up.
Go on.
From next week, we'll be flagging out some of the anthems we want.
Yes.
That we think. We'll be doing an anthem every day.
Big
I haven't discussed it with the boss. He's probably listening now thinking, hopefully.
He's shaking his head already.
Hopefully he's with his tea.
Yeah.
Just going, what?
What did he promise?
Do you know what, Gav? We played 9 anthems an hour anyway.
Absolutely right.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Yeah, do you know what I say, guy?
That's right.
Just flagging this up, the first person in Britain to catch a lethal form of bird flu.
What?
Has been keeping 20 ducks in his home. Guess what his name is? A guy with 20 ducks in his house and loads of wild fowl all over the place. Alan Gosling.
You're kidding.
I'm not. Anyway, he adopted a flock of Muscovy ducks. He has more than 100 living on his property, and he's now got bird flu.
Oh,
I'm just
man.
Saying, you know.
Awful, yeah.
Yeah. Also, Gav, and this is the big one. This is the big story for you.
Go on.
Have you ever seen the film The Last Picture Show?
Yes. Peter Bogdanovich movie,
right?
Isn't it? Yeah,
well,
yeah.
He sadly passed away.
Did, yeah.
If you've never seen The Last Picture Show and you fancy something on... Actually, you need to be quite strong for it. Jeff Bridges, when he was just a kid, and it's one of the most beautifully made.
It's brilliant.
Brilliant bits of...
It got De Niro. It's a young De Niro, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's Jeff Bridges. But do you know when you watch... And Sybil Shepherd. But when you watch it,
yeah,
and I really recommend you go on Sky, because it's in there, I think, it's one of the classics. Or Netflix. Search around.
Sure.
And find it and watch it. Good for a Sunday afternoon. But the funny thing about it is, it really feels like The Last Picture Show. It's about a little small town in America that's shut down. It's dead.
Right.
There's nothing left there.
Yeah.
And it's just beautifully shot. He was a massive fan of John Ford, who's my favourite director.
Right.
He's a huge fan and an expert on Ford. And
I'm going to watch
it. It's about the last ever picture show at the cinema in this small town.
Right.
But by the time you end the film, you really feel that that was the last black and white picture.
Yeah, the actual film you're watching.
It's bizarre what it does to you, but do watch The Last Picture Show. And Peter Bogdanovich, thank you so much for all you gave us.
Radio X.
I just got a text in from a guy called Peter Phillips. He says, I'm not listening to Kelly Brook tonight.
What?
Ooh.
No, he's my cab driver last night.
Oh.
And you know what? He says, what's happening on the show then? I said, well, we've just been on. He says, he's gone, you just finished your show.
Yeah.
I said, yeah. He goes, brilliant that. Brilliant that show.
Yeah.
And I said, well, why, what stopped you listening? He goes, no, I listen to that Kelly Brook now.
Yeah.
I've gone, why? He goes, I changed cabs.
So?
Well, I haven't tuned this one. What? What? It's too hard for you. Is that no matter how much love we created, it wasn't enough for you to just literally go seek, you know,
Peter,
seek and find us. Well, no, I just couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
Thanks, Peter. You really were. It was life affirming that.
But he's back now.
Yeah, I didn't feel like it's all been a waste of time. Imagine loyalty like that.
It sounds really posh, Captain Peter Phillips.
Yeah, Captain Peter. No, it's not. No, unless it is, and I've got it all wrong.
Right.
Anyway, Peter, thanks for the lift last night.
Yeah.
I needed to say I tipped him handsomely.
Of course.
40 pence. He looked so disappointed.
Rounded it up.
Well, you know, cab drivers are really nice to you because they think you get a bigger tip in them.
X.
We've all been there. One minute you're watching Money Heist on Netflix, the next you're choosing a code name, flying to Spain, wearing a red jumpsuit, following orders from the professor, scaling a bank, stealing a ton of gold, and telling your mate to put their foot down. Getting lost in Money Heist just got easier. With TalkTalk and Netflix together in one easy package. Superfast fibre plus award-winning entertainment. It just makes sense. TalkTalk for everyone. Subject availability, terms apply.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Martin in the Radio X office had a broken hot tap for over 8 years. This inspired our feature.
Martin's hot tap, he needs a brand new one. But he can't be asked to get it done. Martin's hot tap. Been broken for so long, but what else haven't you fixed that went wrong?
Oh man, that is a great bit of work. And there's a hint of studio about that.
A bit of professionalism.
There really was, but
there, yeah.
he's done his own version really of the melody there, hasn't he?
He really has. He's reinvented it, yeah.
He's reinvented
that. I think I heard two ukuleles in that recording. One on each side.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's doubled up the ukes, definitely. Yeah. Okay, it was a kind of FG C7. Sounded like, or a C, but...
very nice
145, working it, baby, working it.
Sure.
Might have gone GB flat F, actually, thinking about it. But hey, guys, Steve Madgen. With his version of the Hot Tap theme, if you want to have a go, send your efforts. Johnny@radiox.co.uk if you're a struggling musician or a very successful one. Don't whinge, you can't get enough airtime.
Yeah.
And that goes out to Paul McCartney specifically.
Yeah, because you'll get on, yeah.
Whose new stuff doesn't get a play.
Yeah.
Paul, Macca. Just send it in, mate.
Yeah.
That's how you get on Radio X at the moment, with your new stuff.
He'd do a good Martin Sting.
He'd do a really good version.
Good,
get on it, Macca. Hell, get on it, Ringo.
What's
no,
he waiting
no,
for?
I take that back. But get on it, Macca. Come on. Come on.
Come on, Paul.
Come
have
on,
a go,
Paul.
Mate.
So I'm working on a hot tap theme at the moment, and great times. A bunch of us in LA are working
fantastic.
On that. Yeah, fantastic. As the song says, we're after all those things you can't be asked to fix. Not only are we celebrating your apathy, but also your ingenuity. Hashtag MHT, hashtag CBA, can't be asked. Like I say, do send your themes in, johnny@radiox.co.uk, and your can't be asked efforts in, same place, but hashtag MHT, hashtag CBA, whatever. Are you ready for this?
Go on.
Glenn in Aldwych, just down the road.
Yeah.
The lights in our windowless bathroom. God, it's a nightmare, though, isn't it? Completely broke. Although, windowless bathrooms do afford us the opportunity for one great gag, which comes under the heading, never not funny.
Why?
When you know all the lights are gone in there.
Yeah.
Sorry, when the light switch is outside.
Yes.
And your mate goes in there and you know and they've
and
locked the door.
Total
you turn
darkness.
Off. Oi! Hey!
It's like a cave down
never,
there.
Never not funny. No, it just feels, they're suddenly sitting there, it just suddenly feels like it's something the Japanese did during the war.
It goes none
no,
more dark.
Never not funny.
Never
yeah, right.
Funny.
The lights in our windowless bathroom completely broke, and rather than get them fixed, I attached a tiny clip-on reading light to the top of the mirror. It remained there for just under 12 months with only one battery change until I finally called an electrician. Can I say for that last line? Boo!
Boo!
Boo.
Traitor to the chapter.
Should have kept it there and bought a new clip-on light.
Yes.
Or moved one from the other side of the bed.
Yes, maintain yeah? the tapery.
Yes, absolutely right, absolutely right. Please, stay committed, Glenn. What have you got there, Gav?
Anna in Chester says...
Hello, Anna. Happy New Year.
She says, my fiancé's father has an epic DIY bodge.
Go on then.
He has a shower
curtain. God, what a great billing.
He has a shower curtain taped over his bathroom tiles surrounding the bath and shower as the tiles need regrouting and water was leaking through.
Yeah.
The thing is, I first met him 15 years ago.
Oh, wow, man.
And that shower curtain is still taped to the wall.
Gav, the bathroom... is a temple of tappery.
It's
like bathroom designers just thought, no one's really going to use this every single day for exactly the same thing.
Or there won't be any water here.
No, there won't be any water here. No one will use this shower.
Yeah.
No one will use these hot taps.
No.
It's extraordinary.
It's amazing, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they've got to deal with some kind of plumbers union to mean that the shower, literally, on a very long-term basis, it may as well, like in Mission Impossible, this bathroom will self-destruct him gradually over time. But they really are. Entropy writ large in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Right, this is from no number but N0064. Hi, 0064. Always sign your work. Here we go. Growing up, we had bare floorboards in our hallway. Presumably that means the floorboards were bare, not like, you get me that? Like we had like bare floorboards.
Like, you feel, enough you're like, floorboards.
Like, you feel like enough floorboards. Feel me right? Listen. Telling you right.
You've got a lie.
Anyway, sorry, I'm talking on a level, yeah?
Yeah.
Growing up, we had like bare floorboards in our hallway, you feel me? One year, there was a horrible stagnant water smell in the hall.
Yeah.
My mum asked my dad to get rid of the smell. Yeah. We got home from school to find that he had gaffer taped all the gaps between the floorboards. He even went as far as to tape the doormat to the floor to, quote, save on tape. He'd solve the smell of the hallway, though. Hey! Send us your examples of DIY dodges or bodges. Send your Martin's hot taps. 83936 or email Johnny at radiox.co.uk.
This is Radio X. The best of Johnny Vaughan.
Gav, you've been a very good chef. Well, a caterer.
Sure.
You trained as a chef and then you went into catering.
I've worked in restaurants too, yeah.
Yeah, I've chefed and I've catered and I've done all sorts. And I can tell you now, there was one thing that people delighted in when you started.
What?
Well, it's two things. One, potato peeling.
Oh, yeah.
Three things.
Go on.
Three things if you're at the bottom of the ladder, you do. One, potatoes.
Yep.
Sorry. One, washing up.
Yes.
Right.
Two, potato peeling.
Yeah.
Because rumblers are useless.
They are. They don't work.
You literally just end up with, like a glassy potato. It's ridiculous.
That's right.
Yeah. Like a marble. Three, chopping onions. Which is more than just chopping onions, because you also get taught the many different ways to chop an onion.
Yes.
Gav, just give them an idea of some of those ways.
Well, you get mirepoix, which is a certain size. You get brunoise, which is even smaller. But there's all the techniques of cutting it down lengthways, then putting slots in it, and then going across for the little squares.
And these are things you do.
Or whether you want it sliced in.
But the reason they're really teaching it is because they like to see you suffering, crying.
100%, yeah.
Just sobbing your eyes out.
Yeah,
because when you first start doing, my God, it's painful. You literally think, I can't go on.
Yeah.
Especially when it's a 10-kilo bag of potato.
Of onion. Now, there are ways around it, I found. And I still do. You wet the onion and then it's no longer a problem. If you just run an onion underwater and then you can peel it, it's no problem. Second thing is just wear glasses or sunglasses.
There is that, yeah.
And it's also really good if you're at that age, as I was when I started, when you're also getting stoned a lot. You've got red eyes anyway, and any excuse to wear sunglasses when you're working. It's fine.
A very, very, very sharp knife helps because the knife goes between the cells instead of bursting them and spraying that stuff into your eyes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got the thing. It's like, that's exactly what's happening. Yep. It's spraying up at your eyes.
Yeah.
But now, so Gav, you get round it, you learn.
Sure.
And actually, I've got to tell you, after a while, you become immune to it.
Yeah, it didn't bother
That's what's even weirder.
Yeah.
So, this. But it's also a lovely thing to be able to send off someone to do. If you're in a kitchen, you want to pick on people a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Make him peel the onions and then he do the potatoes. And then he can wash up for a bit and then he'll learn. And then if he still wants to work in a kitchen, then then give him a dead leg. Anyway, from Michelin-starred chefs to enthusiastic amateurs, few of us are spared the familiar stinging tears that flow when chopping onions. Like I say, if you do run them underwater, that will sort it out. But you've got to halve them first. And you just run it a little bit in there and you, you know. But that'll stop it. But a breakthrough is at hand that'll bring an end to eye-watering cooking. Onions, sorry, they're called sunions. And they're already available in the United States. They're to go on sale in Britain promising they're tearless onions.
But do they taste like onions?
Well, this is what worries me. The onions, they're an invention of Rick Watson. Do you know Rick?
No,
not aware of. Neither do I.
His work.
I'm always a bit wary of people called Rick.
You have to be. Yeah.
Well, you can have Dick, Dickie, Richie,
yeah,
Rich.
Yeah, yeah. And they're gone with Rick.
There's loads of different, you know, it's like Robert. They're two heavy nickname names.
Yeah, very adaptable.
Really?
Yeah,
well, no, shortened forms. Sorry, not nicknames. Sure. And yeah, Rick.
Ricky is a good one, yeah.
Richie.
No, right. Yeah, I know. But let's go back to Rick. This isn't just an opportunity.
Nicer
or when posh blokes call their friends called Richard Ricardo.
Ricardo, yes, fine. That's even. I'll take that. Jackie Ashcroft. Yeah, like Liam calls it. But Rick.
Yeah, Rick.
I tell you what. In the 80s, most mobile DJs were called Rick.
Rick something. Yeah, yeah.
No, they really were.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, it's because of Rick Wakeman. I don't know, but a lot of them were called Rick.
Makes me think of the young ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rick.
Yeah.
It's very 80s. Anyway. Rick, if you know a good Rick, I apologise. Or if you are a good Rick, 83936. 83936, tell us about Ricks.
You just did that.
No, but 83936, we're hearing about Ricks. sometimes the words just fall for you, don't they? That just happened. So Rick Watson's done. He's a plant breeder working for the German chemical company BASF. I'll keep that a bit quiet if I was you, mate, considering what they got up to between 39 and 45. He began working on the innovation in the late 80s using natural techniques rather than genetic modification.
Right.
Okay. Weird because that genetic...
So he began in the 80s?
Yeah, that's how long it's taken. There we go, he's called Rick! Ha ha! Of course he did! Of course he did! Well done!
Wow!
Also, get a move on, Rick.
Do what detective? Bobby Sue.
Yeah.
The onions were first grown in the US. Trials underway in France to see if they can be raised in different climates. Onions make people cry because when they're sliced, they're released. Propanethyl S oxide irritates glands in the eyes. Mm. But sunions will be stocked in Waitrose, packs of three, for £8.
What?
Whoa.
£1.50. Oh. Right, you've always got to lie about Waitrose, though. Never give them the oxygen of publicity.
Yeah.
So there we go. How about that? Well done, Rick. It's only taken him since the 80s. But well done, Rick. I should be testing them. Definitely.
X. Paul Chowdhury.
What's happening?
Have you heard his global original podcast?
It's called The Paul Chowdhury Podcast.
And it's available on Global Player now.
You're probably thinking, what does bud mean? Where's the meaning in this podcast? Does it have a metaphor? It does. This is a deep and meaningful podcast because bud in Punjabi is a direct translation of far.
The Paul Chowdhury Podcast. Listen on Global Player now. Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
I want to take you back, right back now, to 1737. A fine year for all the boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Benjamin Franklin, who was never actually president.
Wasn't he?
I don't think so, no. I think he's the only one on a banknote who...
Right.
He's not
a president.
Was
he one of the founding fathers?
No, he was just a great bloke. He spent a lot of time in Britain.
Right.
Did lots of great experiments. Of course, founded the Hellfire Club with a load of the lads there. They're quite a wild bunch.
Yeah.
Did his experiments of oil on water on Clapham Common. So he's around Clapham Common, my neck of the woods, for a bit.
Wow.
But among the amazing things he did, he published his Drinker's Dictionary in the Pennsylvania Gazette in 1737. It was reprinted many times. And all it was as many phrases as he'd heard from taverns and places to describe drunkenness.
Right.
Great.
Yeah. I think the reason he's so celebrated is because I think he is on the Declaration of Independence or whatever, the first constitution. So that's really where. But I don't think he was ever president.
Okay.
Anyway, there you go. Now, the original of this had 225 entries, this lexicon of licentiousness. The original had 225 entries. This version from his memoirs has grown to 268.
Right.
All gathered from the modern tavern conversation of tipplers. So I was amazed by some. These are from 1737, but just by some of this. Gav, Sunter, let's go through some of the ones we've picked out with Big Simon that are suitable. I like this. Just in the A section. Mm. I'm afraid he's a bit affected at the moment.
Perfect.
Yes. I'm afraid they're casting up their accounts right. at the moment. What you
I'm
got,
a
sis?
Big fan of She's Been Catching the Cat.
She's been, yes. Very good, very good. I bet you'd like that one.
He's as dizzy as a goose.
Yes.
I like that
I'm
one.
Afraid they're feeling a bit cupsy.
Cupsy?
I'm afraid at the moment they've taken off their considering cap.
I'm yeah. sorry, but she appears to be seeing two moons.
Brilliant.
I didn't realise this one was one. No, he's in his element.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's
that means you're 45.
That's a very gentle way
you're
of saying
quite Christmassy. Well, no,
it's he's as dizzy as a goose.
Some of them are a bit.
Well,
bizarre.
This one's weird. I'm afraid they've just had a little chat with Robin Goodfellow.
Yeah.
Very specific.
Really good at it.
I like this one. He is in the way to be weaned.
I'm confused by his flag is out.
Yeah, that's
fantastic.
Weird. Yeah.
I like it.
That must be naval.
I'm afraid they've gone to Jamaica. That's a rum reference. Or he's jambled. Jambled is really nice.
That's
as in, I'm afraid their kettle's a bit hot.
That's very good.
Yeah, what
also,
else
he's made too free with Sir John.
Sir John.
I'm afraid I've made a little bit too free with Sir John. here's a good one. He's a little bit nimtopsical, which I like. Yes, or also, I'm afraid she's smelt the onion.
Oh.
Very good.
Or she's a little bit pigeon-eyed.
Yes, pigeon-eyed, good. Or pungy, or pretty. Or he's been among the Philistines. She's lost her rudder.
He's been to the salt water.
I like that one. I'm sorry, just going through. I like this one. I'm afraid he's been rather trammelled. Trammelled is great. Anyway, listen, we were going to do our modern A to Z of this, yeah?
Yeah.
But I realise there's 26 letters in the alphabet. If we do it every other Tuesday, mm. yeah?
Yeah.
That means it'll be Christmas by the time we finish.
Oh, it's perfect.
So.
Yeah.
Christmas, our new one is to feel a little bit Christmassy.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So instead of doing an A to Z, we're going to be doing a D to C.
And it takes us all round to Christmas.
And that'll take us, by the time we get to C, it'll be Christmassy.
We'll all be Christmassy.
So it's our D. D starts with drunk.
Nice.
All right, D, drunk. Yeah. So we're going to pick up where Benjamin Franklin left off with our modern drinker's dictionary 2022, starting with D, working through to C. On our favourites as we go. At the end, there'll be a handy alphabetised list of phrases we can all use to mean just a little bit squiffy. So, we're finishing with Christmassy. We're starting with D for drunk. So, D is your letter today.
I've got one.
Go on.
He's been doing the dab.
Yeah, he's been doing a bit of the dab. He's been doing the dab. Nice. 83936, get him in. Soon to start with. Yeah, I'm afraid he's been dabbing again.
Radio X.
We're looking to create a brand new drunken dictionary. The first one created by Benjamin Franklin, 1737. And we're proud that this is one show that leans on traditions like that. I mean, yes, there's been a bit of a gap, but we can...
We're ready to now pick that
despite the near 300-year gap, we're happy to... We'll just roll on with this. So, guys, you sent loads in. My favourite at the moment, we're looking for D. We're starting with D. We're going to do it every other week, which will take us up to C. Mm. Christmassy. When we get to Christmas. So we can all feel Christmassy and we can enjoy reading it. It'll be fantastic. It'll be a real celebration. So we've got something to look forward to throughout the year. Mm. And you'll know where you are in the year if you are a drinker by what letter we're on.
Right.
So what I love is, we're starting with D. What's Rob in Uxbridge sent then? Rob, you've obviously started early, mate. He sent in, what about cabbaged? Yeah, it's D, Rob. If you're going to do that, you know. So, here we go. I like this one. This is Simon Littlehampton, my favourite status quo record. Sounds an odd thing to say, but it is a work of genius. He says, I'm afraid he's down the dust pipe, which I like immensely. Next up.
I'm afraid he's discombobulated.
Fantastic. Sons.
David Middlesbrough says, I'm afraid he's a little dissipated.
Nice. Here's a good one for you. This is Paul in Widnes, who just says, yes, I'm afraid he's a little bit double doodad. Which I like. Double doodad, I like immensely. Big sigh, how many are we allowed for each one? Because Franklin's got a few in there. Three? Rule of three.
Do three.
Okay, it's going to be the best three going. Here's a good one for you. Go on, Sons. Next up.
Matthew suggests she's doing the Dipso dance.
I like the Dipso dance. We've all done the Dipso dance.
Oh, yeah.
Dancing with the Devil. Gav, what do you got?
Stephen Luton says, I'm afraid she's discovered her whimsy.
You see, Phil in Bedford just says, I'm afraid they've been decorating the downstairs toilet.
Oh, yeah.
Which sounds all right, doesn't it? This is good. He's definitely decanted, which I like. And I also like she's been dancing with Delilah.
Yes.
Thank you to Steve of Leverstock Green. Keep coming in, please. In a second. Oh, my God, it's gone mad.
It has.
Some of these we can't possibly do.
No, we can't say that one.
Yes. I'm afraid, Christian in South Wales says, I'm afraid he's dunked his Dairy Lee, which I love as an image. Great work, Christian. Great work.
This is Radio X.
The best of Johnny Vaughan.
We're just putting together a brand new drunken dictionary. There hasn't been one since 1737, the work of Benjamin Franklin. We're starting with the letter D. We're finishing with the letter C for Christmassy in 20... We're going to go every fortnight, so that's 26 fortnights, which is
perfect.
A year!
Perfect.
So, we've got so many good ones in. Very quickly, she shopped a little too long in Dilly Dally Lane.
Dilly Dally Lane?
No, I'm afraid I've been shopping in Dilly Dally Lane. Gav, quickly.
Darren in Plymouth says, unfortunately, he's off discussing matters with Lord Digsby.
I love that. Yeah. So, to go on.
My absolute favourite, Christian in Midwell, says, he's absolutely dot-cottoned.
I love that. No, don't, man. I've got absolutely... I tell you can say as well, Douglas Bardard is an old one.
Yeah,
But dot cottoned.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I got absolutely
dot cottoned.
And generally that means you've given up smoking, but you found yourself having a fag as well.
X.
Hello, Chris Moyles here. I'm so sorry to interrupt your podcast enjoyment. I'm with my friend Dominic Byrne.
Hello there, I'm sorry.
You may remember us, we used to be on the radio back in the day. Well, we still are.
Still doing it.
Anyway, we do a podcast. Mm-hmm. It's called The Chris Moyles Show on Radio X Podcast, and it's all the best bits of our radio show from the week, with all those pesky songs and things taken out.
That's it.
And some hilarious things in there.
I'm just really laughing thinking about it.
Download it right now from Global Player.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
On the Kickabout, Gavin and I do a thing called... Las Bolsas Mexicanos. It's those observations of everyday life. You take the old and simply add a place and an action and or object. Sunta. In which film is it? It's a comedy. There's an actor who plays like a member of the DEA, and when he's speaking to Mexicans, he just speaks Spanish, but like in English. It was really making me laugh. I saw it the other day. He goes, hola. He just says it like, hola, ¿qué pasa? What was
Donde
it in?
Donde está la...
He's it might have even been Meet
film,
the...
Old film?
Meet the former Jennifer Aniston when they're in the bus. And they smuggle all the weed.
Oh.
Is it in that?
Big Sino's.
But it's that actor.
Big Sino's going to mime it.
And he goes, he just goes, hola, ¿qué pasa?
Hola.
Hola, amigo, ¿qué pasa? He just says it absolutely with no attempt
at...
Meet the Millers. But does he do that in that film?
Couldn't tell you that, though.
It's that same actor who's the DEA guy.
Someone will tell you. Someone will let you know.
On this show, we make the handbag. That's the Mexican handbag. You define it. Observations of everyday life. You take the old, simply add a place and an action and or an object. The old Swindon Mammoth. Do you know what I'd say the old Swindon Mammoth is?
What?
Something that's huge and you can't remember it. it's extinct. It's like the old Swindon Mammoth. No, I've got a Swindon Mammoth moment.
Never coming back.
No, you know the guy.
like when you can't remember Robert De Niro's name.
Yes, right. Yeah, well, Nicolas Cage.
Something really easy.
Oh, you know the guy.
You know he drove a taxi.
Why are you the? You know the guy. If I had a, you know, you, why if I had a dime for every. Here's the top three: Paul and Donny. Sunta, what are they saying?
Paul and Donnie say the old Swindon mammoth is the collection of hair and whatnot that collects in the shower plug hole.
That's fantastic.
Sunta visibly shivering there.
That's really good.
Whatnot.
And whatnot. And whatnot.
Well, yours must look bizarre, Sunta, down there. That sounds a bit odd. No, no, because you've got largely purple hair. It must be quite weird. Purple hair! No, I'm just saying that when we look...
Going in my drain.
Yeah, healing my drain.
I'll have you know, my shower plug hole is very clean. Thank you.
Write that down, Harry. We learned that today.
There's no purple hair.
So I've got no intention of looking down there. Purple hair. Anyway, thanks for that, Paul and Donnie. We got a bit more out of that than we thought, I think. We got a little bit more out of Shunter's plug hole. Right.
Julie.
Go on, Gavin.
Julie says that the old Swindon mammoth is a whopper of a lie,
yes,
even by Bullshido standards.
Absolutely Absolutely right. No, I was just thinking about it now. Think about all the sort of colours of Sunta's hair.
I know.
What that would look like. They'd look like, I don't know. Steve in Newcastle, the old Swindon mammoth, the massive joint of meat that remains in the back of the freezer you purchased eons ago for that fancy meal to impress the neighbours you never got around to. I've got one at the moment. Do you know what I've got?
What is it?
My Christmas ham.
Oh,
any
really?
Butchers out there, it's still all fit, but I've got a whole ham.
Right.
It's already, it's like honey roast.
Yeah, yeah.
How long will that last for? It's still in the wrapper. What do you reckon, Gav?
A cured ham.
One month, yeah. I'd give it at the most.
No, it might go for a while. I think hams last a while, especially.
83936, get it in now before the thing. Then it'll stand out. Otherwise, it'll just look like another one. Right. Let's spin the reels. Oh, sorry, which one's it going to be? The old Swindon mammoth.
It's got to be the first one now.
It's going to be the first one. It's the collection of error that is in Sunter's plug hole. Right, there we go. Let's pull the lever, spin the reels on our Mexican handbag. Well done to Paul and Danny. Donny, hit it. The old Yukon. Mm. Dipstick.
Dipstick.
The old Yukon dipstick.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I think the old Yukon dipstick is, yeah?
Okay. Go on.
When someone's got a really soggy cigar.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's really soggy.
It's like chewing tobacco.
Horrible. Yeah, Gav, what you got?
It's either a fishing line going through a hole in the ice.
Nice,
like
nice.
An Inuit fishing line. Right. Or a drill bit on an oil well.
Nice, nice. What you got, Sons?
I think it's the environmentally friendly but utterly useless paper straw in a super large drink you get in the cinema.
Oh, God.
Because that's disintegrated before you're halfway through.
I think one of those, something in the larger department at a marital aids. And you just think, Christ.
It could be a tackling technique in ice hockey.
Yes.
Using the sticks.
The hockey gods gets him with the Yukon dipstick.
The old Yukon.
Gives him a taste of Yukon.
Or a flake in a 99.
That was
very nice.
That's what Vin in the office said. Yeah. There's a coincidence.
Mm.
Sorry about that, since because I told you that. Now, right, are you ready for this? 83936, please. 83936 or tweet at Radio X.
This is Radio X.
The best of Johnny Vaughan.
I'm Johnny Vaughan. This is the 4 till 7 thing. We've just spun the reels of the Mexican handbag. We've launched this week's old Mexican. Sorry, the Mexican bandit got this week's Mexican handbag, the old Yukon dipstick. Do you know someone? There's a great one here, Badger Nipswitch. He just says it's the lateral flow test thing. Oh, God, man.
Yeah.
It's genius, isn't it? And the fact that I've gone the dippy thing, it just shows. So I've got out the Yukon dipstick and someone's nudged me. It's gone in my eye.
Yeah.
Through the nose. What you got, Gav?
Morgan in Dorset says the old Yukon dipstick is when you dip your toe into the pool or the sea to see how cold the water is.
Dr. Sun Templeton?
another one from Badger in Ipswich, who says the old Yukon dipstick is a hot dog straight out of the tin.
Nice one. No more from Badger, yeah, because it looks like we don't have any texts. also, this is a beautiful one. We've got a rare double, but I'll tell you about that in a second. This is the last one for now. Hey, Teej, a Yukon dipstick is what you see when you stroke a dog's belly. And they just enjoy it a bit too much. Please stop tickling Ralph. I can see his... Yes. That's from Farmer Phil. It's acceptable from farmers because they're all about that, aren't they?
Sure.
Not
sure.
Stroking dogs and no. Turning them on and stuff. No. But I mean, God, I got myself a right mess. 83936. Keep going, please.
Radio X.
God, I hate Pony Rhapsody. Yeah. I know. I like saying that because I always feel at my most lonely when I say that. I've never had a contest. I'm yet to have anyone go, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone just thinks of me as just being some sort of old Yukon dipstick. Hey!
And you don't want that.
Well, the old Yukon dipstick as well is when what you do is you just chivvy a little attitude in there. Oh, God, not Bohemian Rhapsody. To try and find out if you're going to get any... one agreeing with you.
Mm.
Do you like? Yeah. It's sort of like, he's like, do you like Bohemian Rhapsody? Then they go, yeah, I love it. I go, same. No, I met someone the other day who didn't. Yeah, Gab, what do you got?
Teejmeister, the old Yukon dipstick is that utter idiot you always end up when you ask for directions anywhere outside of a mobile signal.
Yeah, and also...
as Craig in Warwick.
And also, it's that guy who's not from that town either.
And can't help you, yeah.
Sorry, mate, I'm a stranger to myself. And you're sort of in Edinburgh.
Yeah. Right.
So, and you're walking down a residential street. You go, oh, excuse me. I'm just fitting some pipes. We're just literally delivering. Sounds pretty good.
Ash in Leicester says the old Yukon dipstick is seeing a child in McDonald's taking a chip and dunking it into their milkshake before eating it.
And who used to do that?
I used to do that.
Yeah, you did.
And I still ate dairy.
And it was the first... Well, to be fair, I think you find McDonald's milkshakes are potato.
Yeah, there's no milk in them.
Yes, the chips are made of milk.
Sure.
Everyone knows that. The burgers are made of cardboard.
Cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The meat is made of apple. Okay. yeah, you were the first person ever to tell me about that. Mm. You did the strawberry milkshakes, didn't
yeah.
you? Okay.
Delish.
So do we stop looking? I don't know why you're making me pretty giggly today. And it's just don't, no, look at your screen. Look away, because honestly, I've got to do this. You're just being really stupid.
She's making me laugh now. She's got that grin on her face.
She's just being really silly today. It's like real, I don't know why either. Normally she only does this when she's had a few. Hi TJ and the gang. I love this. The old Yukon dipstick. Elbow, toe, anything you use to check the temperature of water.
Right.
Swimming pools. So yes. No more of those, please, guys. We got it. Because someone said toe as well for swimming pools, yeah. But that's perfect. Exactly right.
Yep.
Gav, what you got?
No name on this one, but Yukon dipstick. Any man's legs when wearing shorts in January.
Great one. Sunta.
Steve of Sheffield says the old Yukon dipstick is using your tentative little finger to dip in or test the spiciness of a chili or curry that your smirking mate has assured you. It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
And it's really hot.
That's really good. And do you know what? And I don't know why this word's used for this, but it's also, I think it's testing anything using, but keyword here. Gingerly.
That's right,
gingerly,
tentative.
Yeah.
Why is it gingerly?
I don't know. What is that about?
And because I know people with ginger hair and they're normally quite full on.
Mm.
And also the flavour of ginger is really full on. It's not tentative.
No, I know some people who are quite ginger and then I wouldn't say they're particularly driven. They're like, they're moving like, oh, I'll just stick my head around.
They're not cautious.
Yeah. I know some people who are quite gung-ho.
Right, and the flavour is not subtle.
Yes. Maybe they ought to change the name of ginger hair to gung-ho hair.
Right. Definitely. Gung-ho
biscuits. What colour was his hair? Well, it was sort of gung-ho.
Yeah.
He had gung-ho hair. Sounds like a great restaurant. I'm just off up the gung-ho hair. Since, are you using these moments just to get rid of, because you feel like laughing? It's like... when you're at school and you're all having a laugh a bit about something, and so anything slightly funny happens, suddenly you let it all out. You go, and it's not that
sneaky.
Funny. Right, okay. The icicles from the rear mudguard of your car in the winter, says
lovely.
Gareth, that's really good, and that should That's just sensible and nice and straightforward, yes. And I'm going to call that from now. Gal, what you got?
Matthew in High Wycombe says the old Yukon dipstick is a free turkey thermometer.
Yes, that's true.
That's brilliant.
Can I just say...
Why is it free?
Okay, can I just say, in front of us, we've all got a screen, yeah?
Yeah.
We can all see Mark's one, can't we, that's been left there.
Yes,
and
we have.
You're all avoiding it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is that why you're giggling?
Mark is stoked.
Mark is stoked. I'm not.
Everyone stepped over that one like a puddle.
I can't believe you even put it in there. And what happens is, each time we read one out, so we don't replicate, we delete them in this sort of part... long thing of text, just like one might have on a phone. Yeah. But Mark in Stoke has remained in the top spot throughout. We're just deleting around it. No. Are we playing chicken? We've just got one left. I'm not going to... Mark, you haven't got a chance with that
it's
one.
It's not
yet.
A presenter's right, yeah. friend, that
no,
one.
No, it really isn't. There's
but,
nothing...
For good trial, no, chap.
There's no way around it. No. Okay. Gav from Cump. Don't everyone look, all I can see is that one in Mark's.
Stop it.
Here's a beauty, right? We haven't done this yet, have we?
No.
This is a double. Can you see what I've highlighted? Is it highlighted for all of you as well? Okay, here we go. The old Yukon dipstick, it's simply the device that cleans the old Swindon mammoth out of Sunter's plug hole.
Super.
I just love that. Sorry, we're doing it early, and that's self-explanatory. But I don't think we've ever had one doing another.
No.
Wow.
In a manner of speaking. The old Yukon dipstick, just a loud American tourist. Hooray! Really? Last one, Suns. Go on, do Mark from Stoke, I dare you. No, go on.
Okay. Gav from Cumbria says the old Yukon dipstick is the ever-reliable kitchen utensil shaped like a spatula. It scrapes, it stirs, it does it all.
Oh, it's genius.
X. The Paul Chowdhury Podcast.
What's happening?
Paul talks to comedians, musicians, broadcasters, and more.
This podcast has a 100% open door policy. So some might also view this as me saying yes to every guest that I'm offered, which I did.
Get the Paul Chowdhury Podcast now.
Just do what you need to do. Press like, subscribe. I don't know what you got to do these days to get your stuff, but do it.
You can just get it from Global Player right now.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Do you know what the best news I've had all day is?
What?
The fact that Donnie O'Connell, who's on in the afternoons, does a great job as well. Always gets me through. It's just fantastic. Whatever you're doing, Donnie O'Connell, every single afternoon right here on Radio X. But we'd be calling him Shamrock because obviously he's really playing the Irish card at the moment.
Sure.
I'd be calling him Shamrock O'Connell. Only because I found out he used to DJ under that name. But his dad... has apparently texted him, and Big Si and Harry have both seen this text.
Oh, it's been verified, yeah.
And it's been verified, and they're calling him, and his dad's now calling him Shamrock. and
rightly so.
And he wouldn't have minded if it was secret, he could have gone on doing it. But in fact, his dad now knows.
Yeah, the cat's out of the bag.
Oh, man. Do you know what that is? Mock and roll, yeah?
Right.
Yeah.
Do you see what I've done?
Yeah.
It's marvellous, isn't it?
This
is Radio X.
The best of Johnny Vaughan.
Okay, guys, what am I doing? In December 2021, four RAF pilots boarded an ocean rowing boat to start an attempt to race unaided across the Atlantic Ocean for charity. The use of the word unaided is used here in the sense that we're not going to even mention the current. Wing Commander Phil Holcroft, Flight Lieutenant Cy Berry, Wing Commander Sonny Ray, and Flight Lieutenant Chris Carrington-Smith are... The Atlantic Flyers. Four pilots, one boat, one vision, 3,000 miles to change lives. On the line now, we have one Wing Commander Phil Holdcroft. Good evening, Phil.
Hi there. What an incredible introduction. How are you all doing?
Yeah, really good. Firstly, where are you now? How far have you got to go?
Okay, we have got 308 miles to go to the finish line in Antigua.
Wow. So how far have you come?
It's just shy of 3,000 miles. So
right.
We've rowed just under 2,700 miles to date.
Wow.
Oh,
but
God.
You say rowed. My contention is, and I've been saying it on the show, that you can literally oars up. You can just sit back and enjoy it and do what you like. Play some cards. The current will take you there, right?
That sounds like a good plan, but I think the two sweating, grunting men I'm looking at now would suggest you get there a bit quicker by rowing.
Phil, you've done ultra marathons like me. We've done triathlons. You're a former Iron Distance RAF triathlon champion. You've actually earned your green beret. Your recent races include the 100-mile ultra marathon, which you ran in under 16 hours. Not a bad time. Do you know what? I've never beaten 15 myself. But how does this compare with all the grueling things you've done?
Oh, wow. So I do love endurance sports, but this one's something epic. I think the best thing about it is it's not just me. I've got three other like-minded souls with me. But the duration is incredible. It's just so punishing.
Is it?
Each of us will have rode about 500 hours when we get to the finish, and that's about 250 two-hour shifts. And the maximum sleep you get is about an hour 40.
Think how I feel. I'm going to do it in a kayak next month.
Have we had any arguments, Phil?
Have you had any arguments, Phil? Yeah.
So I wouldn't go as far as arguments. I think we're doing pretty well. There was an incident with a poo bucket, which I won't go into too much detail on.
Don't. That's already too much detail.
But that concentrated the mind a little bit.
What are other potential sources of arguments?
I guess it's not turning up on time for your shift. But
Wait a second, Phil. Where can you hide? You're on a rowing boat. But it's not like not turning up for work. You say, I missed the bus.
So when you're counting down those 120 minutes until your flow relieves you, you get pretty precious about the last 1 or 2 minutes. So if they're late, it's like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Phil, quick questions. One, what have you been eating largely?
So it's probably about 6,000 calories a day. Some pretty good meals, actually. Curries, all sorts. All dehydrated rations. And then these monster snack packs with Bombay mix, peanuts, pepper armies, lots and lots of chocolate.
Okay, does it get easier then, now you're 300 miles from home, because you've eaten a lot of the weight yourselves?
That's it. So every time the bucket goes overboard, there's part of us thinks the boat's a little bit lighter now. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah, it does. The boat's a lot.
Okay, another question. When you're there, have you gone for a swim? Do you all swim?
All right, so we all swim. That is one of the biggest morale boosts, is going in and cleaning the hull. So we're really precious about wasting any time not rowing, but to clean the hull, that actually saves you time. So we're going in pairs, and one person's having a good look out, see what else is lurking there, and then the others clean the hull best as possible.
Yeah, it's not like you go swimming because you need a bit of exercise. No, but Phil, you should definitely do that towards the end. You should use your hour and 20 minutes off to go for a nice long swim.
I think my wife would appreciate that.
Yes, yes, yes. Talking of wives, it is, between you and me, doing these ultra endurance events, it's a great way to get away from them, isn't it?
So it does buy you a few weeks off, but she's still with me, and we're thinking maybe some sort of a massage day at the spa in Antigua at the finish line. Hey. That might buy us a few breaths.
Yeah, and what about for her?
Yeah. Phil, what's the first thing you'll do when you hit Antigua?
Oh my goodness, we've been thinking about what we're most looking forward to. I think there's consensus. It's a beer, regardless of the time of arrival. And probably a shower, bath, shower, and then hitting the bed. That's going to be...
Maybe a shower in beer.
Oh. Perfect.
When do you finish? How long?
So we reckon Monday morning, around about 9-10 o'clock UK time. That's what we're targeting. We're running the numbers constantly. And if we could hold about 80 miles a day, that's when we're looking good for.
Now, Phil, you're doing this for a great charity, a charity I've actually worked with, and we work with here at Global.
That's right, yeah. It's a charity incredibly close to our heart. My youngest daughter, Isla, had leukemia, and Starlight was a charity which supported her and our family through that journey, both in hospital, but they granted a wish which took Isla to Lapland, and that really galvanised us. gave us something to look forward to. So this chance to give back means so much. So yeah, we're so passionate about supporting Starlight.
Okay, fantastic. Can anyone listening still get involved and sponsor you?
Oh, absolutely. We would love that. So our website is AtlanticFlyers2021.com, and on there's details all about the challenge, the team, the background, the charity, and there's a big donate button, and we would love any donations. It'll go to an incredible cause, and it genuinely will change the lives of desperately ill children.
Wing Commander Phil, thank you so much for talking to us. Our warmest regards to the men, and best of luck to you. Cheers!
Cheers, thanks so much for your time.
X.
Paul Chowdhury.
What's happening?
Have you heard his global original podcast?
It's called The Paul Chowdhury Podcast.
And it's available on Global Player now.
You're probably thinking, what does bud mean? Where's the meaning in this podcast? Does it have a metaphor? It does. This is a deep and meaningful podcast because bud in Punjabi is a direct translation of far.
The Paul Chowdhury Podcast. Listen on Global Player now.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
You all right, Bobby?
Yeah.
Hey, Bob. Bobby Sue.
Sure.
You presumably, as a vegan, you got to watch what sweets you eat.
Oh, yeah. But vegetarians do as well.
Right. But, yeah, yes, absolutely right. But some of them, you know, a bit more sort of, you know, less militant, you know.
Okay.
Less committed.
Less minute. A lot of vegetarians go, but I eat fish. And you're thinking, yeah, because a lot of tuna leap in the nets, don't they? They're loving it. Yeah. They're lapping them up.
They're
keen. Yeah. They're really keen for it. Oh, yeah, because fish, they love it. You know, they just have a hook. I mean, all I said a while ago is those people who are pescatarians, because for some reason that's not that cruel. It's nice because they like the taste of fish.
Yeah. Right.
And it's really healthy
judge
for you.
No one's safe.
Right, but if Gav and I devised a Land Rover, right? Yeah. And we had hooks on the back, the grass, and we went fishing for sheep. Oh. It would be regarded as the most cruel thing.
Absolutely right, yeah.
Horrendous. You know, sheep. I got one, Gaff, and I'm there with a fat...
Reel it in.
You know, we've been fishing for pigs, where we could use any bait.
Don't do that.
Reel him in, Gaff.
Don't do that.
Ooh, we got a piggy now.
Netting.
We got a piggy.
Trawling for cows.
I mean, I got a big
net full of cows.
And then we stood in the farmyard with a pig hanging up like
the photograph.
Like a marlin. Yeah. Like, look at us. We managed to go, what did you catch him with? Oh, just some school meals. We just slopped some custard in a bag.
Yeah, some old scraps.
Custard with some bacon.
Some carrot tops.
And some carrots. Yeah. Anything. Anything, I'll go for anything. And the rest of it was just cow dung. And the pig still bit.
Oh, they love it, yeah.
Yeah, we could lay down lots of the little bags of them in a field and wait for them. Maybe hauling loads, like trawling.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're yeah.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. That got a bit out of hand.
Crazy.
You're talking about sweets.
Sorry, let me get back on point. So, sweets. Mm. The good news is, for vegans, is that the greatest sweet available news agents, namely the fruit pastel.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, you get vegan. Yeah.
Wow. No more gelatin.
It's one of my favourite hangover cures.
What?
It's a really good hangover cure. Not as good as digestives.
What do you do? Just like lay four of them on your temple or something?
Yeah, exactly right. Have you been watching her again?
And they just imbibe through osmosis.
Yeah, you place a packet under your bed.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah.
Radio X.
Exactly. I went for curry last night. It was delicious.
Wonderful.
Thanks for asking. Mm. It was really good.
Cool.
I got into slightly that thing when someone else is paying.
Oh, yeah.
And what I do is there's a few of us that go.
Yeah.
Three of us that go at the moment. That's quite low numbers, but it's called the Durbar Restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And we call ourselves the Knights of Durbar. And we...
The Knights of Durbar.
No, the Durbar Curry House. They brought out this year's Biro.
Wow.
It's always a big event in January.
Nice.
This year's Biro has got a light on it if you click twice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's got the rubber tip so you could use it on your phone.
Nice. What colour's the ink?
You don't write with them.
Oh, sorry.
They're merely the swords for the Knights of Durbar. We hold our biros up.
Okay.
Anyway, so we have to take them along every time as the Knights of the Durbar. But unfortunately, the Knights of the Durbar, there's been a bit of an escalation.
Why?
Because we take it in turns to pay.
Mm.
And it's just getting more and more now.
What do
you mean? I can have four of those.
Oh, really?
Because you, what do you mean? I paid last time. It's just escalating and escalating. It's getting crazy.
Over-ordering.
Yes, it's my turn to pay next time. I paid three times ago. And now it's just getting crazy.
It's like an arms race.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, because then next time I'll have that.
I want the lobster it's accepted. Vindaloo,
you're right,
please.
Exactly. It's accepted. You go for, we generally share a big rice.
Right.
Or two big rice. You know, but generally that's that. And then there might be some shared poppadoms.
Sure.
It's not sort of individual. And now people are sort of getting slightly more. But I don't like that peshwari.
Right.
And that's what I want.
Yeah. And we're ordering both now.
No, it's just getting crazy. I mean, you shouldn't be able to spend a lot of money in a curry house. But it's got really got out of hand.
Yeah, you can't eat it all. Do you know what's next? Do you know what's next? Someone's going to order that thing, whatever it is, that you have to give them 24 hours notice.
No, we're already on the wine list.
And then what were the desserts like? Because I love
wine
a dessert.
Wait a second. Wine with a curry?
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
No. I did order a dessert. And actually, happily, I left most of it.
Right.
Still knocked down on the
did
menu.
Did you go for the frozen lemon? What did you go for?
No, I went for an orangey-looking one.
Yeah, the orange one.
And the reason I gave up on it is because I wanted to get out of there anyway,
yeah?
It was getting quite hot.
Yeah.
So I went a bit too spicy.
Yeah.
But I couldn't actually penetrate the orange with the spoon. I'm thinking, no, it's like, you know, things that are radioactive have a half-life.
Yeah.
This is the same with something frozen.
Right.
You know you're only supposed to eat the inside of it.
I know, but I couldn't even get it in there.
You need a serrated, like a steak spoon.
It was like a cannon. It was like orange cannonball in there. In the ear.
Oh, I love them.
Really? Do you like them?
The lemon and orange sorbets are great.
Do you know what? I was talking to this an ad director. Mm. I bumped into when I was filming something in Barcelona. He's quite fat. He's a really good bloke.
Yeah.
And we always exchange a few good Cockney tales. Yeah. Mm. And he was telling me, have I told you this story on air before?
I know the story.
Yeah, you know the story. I think this is a cracking story. If you like to laugh at Cockneys, he was in the East End at a curry house, yeah? And his dad and son have walked in, and the son is about 10, and he's wearing an almost matching tracksuit to his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And they walked in there dripping with Tom, covered in jewellery. And they walked in there. And they're really being loud. It's just him and his old man. And there's two, generally, when you get to that age, there's two sorts of Cockney. There's a Cockney who talk like that.
Yeah.
Are you standing there more? I'm not joking. And then there's the Cockneys who are like that.
So hoarse and gruff.
Well, his dad is generally like that.
Right, one of them lot.
Yeah, shut up. Anyway, this is what's happened. They've ordered the puddings, and the son has ordered a pineapple one.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And he's looked at his pineapple, and he's turned around and he says, here, Dad, what is that? And he's pointed to the pineapple.
Yeah,
obviously never seen one before. His dad's gone, that, my son, is a pineapple, normally found in tins. That was his pineapple fact. Love it. Normally found in tins. Yeah. Genius.
This is Radio X.
The best of Johnny Vaughan.
We are still on the hunt, ladies and gentlemen, for the world's greatest nickname. Jiffa, 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 jiffa. So far, we've discovered Pirate. So cool because her real name is Iona Parrot.
Brilliant.
Pirate Parrot. Ross with long neck and massive eyes. He's called the Rostrich. I'd have preferred it. It's because he's got long neck, massive eyes, and he's really hides from reality.
Right.
And when he's faced with any situation, he just goes to sleep.
Yeah.
And Lobster Boy, because he's got massive pink hands and he's always pinching something that he shouldn't. I love that one. I love them all. Keep them coming in, 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Please make sure you include an explanation.
Otherwise, it's just a name.
Fantastic to have you back near the mic. Really good. And we all leant back. You leant forward. That's great for the key demographic. Daz in Biker
says, my mate's lass was called Magic Tree, as whenever he turned up, she was always hanging around in the car with him.
That's fantastic. Incidentally, from Biker, I didn't realise, you know, when I first heard about Biker Grove, really thought it was like bikers.
So did I, yeah. I didn't know that was a place, yeah. A
lot of bikers, like, oh. But there is room for a show about bikers. Like, who live all together. There's just a part of Britain that, you know, they talk about.
Just a cul-de-sac just full of bikers.
For ages, they always, these days, you know, you're always hearing about the community.
Mm.
And yet, actually, it sort of implies there's lots of people living together, like the biking community.
Right, yeah.
But there is no actual.
No.
sort of place where they all go and live.
A place.
Well, I suppose there is probably.
There's a few communes knocking
about.
It's
called about.
Derby. Ace's
but,
Calf.
But, yeah, right. No, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Literally a town that's full of bikers.
Yeah, yeah. Just bikers.
Yes, just
bikers.
So
funny.
You don't want to live there. It's all bikers.
Traffic jams with motorbikes.
Just bikes.
Just motorbikes.
Just motorbikes. Bike shops everywhere. Everything's biker related.
Carl, get a move off.
Yes. Loads of greasy spoons.
Yeah.
Loads of fry-ups. 3 times a day.
Those boots with the white woolen socks that folds back over top of it.
Just fry-ups and kebabs.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
And cider.
And bitter as well. Lots of southern comfort.
Mm.
Anyway, Gav, what you got?
Lee in Grantham says...
Hello, Lee.
I'm a Leicester City fan, so my football teammates call me Gloria. Gloria Leicester fan.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's a beauty
that
from
is
Lee.
Fantastic, isn't it, Bobby Sue?
Yes.
Superb.
My Bobby Sue. Oh, well, I love you, girl. I love you, Bobby Sue. I love you, Bobby Sue. This is from Simon in Windsor. We've got a colleague called Grant Pye.
Mm.
We affectionately call him 3.14. A joke that when he's in trouble with his mum, she just calls him 3.14159 2653. Stays Grant Pye. Now you listen to me, 3.14159 2653 5. Keep coming into 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation.
Otherwise, it's just a name.
Exactly. Do you know what? Exactly.
Mm.
Nice. Exactly right.
This is Radio X.
The best of Johnny Vaughan.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now and you'll get the 4 till 7 thang downloaded straight to your device every single Friday. If you do want to get in touch, please email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Bye.
Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X.